You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And to London we go. Good morning to you, Adam. A very, angry and hostile letter from Donald Trump as he cancels that North Korean summit.
Yes, he talks about a sad moment in history and a missed opportunity and blames North Korea's, as he put it, tremendous anger and open hostility. And indeed, there have been a few things going on behind the scenes. North Korea pulling out of some talks, calling the American vice president a dummy, talking about nuclear-to-nuclear confrontations and so forth. But we know there's been a lot of point scoring. We know that this has been about, in some ways, both the United States, but particularly North Korea, positioning themselves in order to look better, perhaps, and whether there was ever any real substance to North Korea's offer of the summit. But the thing is, President Trump is the one who's pulled out, so it doesn't look quite so good from an American perspective. And indeed, North Korea's reacted with a very soft statement about how they're still willing to talk and so forth. I don't know. There's something in me that says it's better to talk than petulantly storm off somewhere, even if somehow you are in the right.
And that letter is just so badly written from a diplomatic point of view, completely unsophisticated, but we'll leave
all
it there.
The
now, the downing of flight MH17, fingers pointing at Russia.
They have before, but this time a Dutch team essentially say they have conclusive proof that it was, number one, a Dutch missile that brought this plane down, and number two, although fired from rebel territory in eastern Ukraine, a struggle that still continues, actually, in a slightly more muted way, but there's been fighting in eastern Ukraine for some time, and they're saying that although it came from that rebel-held area, it absolutely came from a Russian military convoy and nobody else. And so this Dutch team essentially say it was Russia who killed 298 people on board a passenger plane that was flying from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur and just had the misfortune to be in the airspace above Ukraine at the time. The trouble is, what happens next? Is Russia held accountable? Does anyone go to court? Are sanctions imposed? Does somebody actually tackle Russia for this? Because after all, we're talking about lots of incidents, the Skripals and so forth. Or do they just get away with it and we all move on and kind of forget about it? For the families of those 298, that's a really tough thing to think about, isn't it?
And that's why they call Putin the most powerful man in the world. Now, two extraordinary crimes, a seemingly far-fetched murder and attempted murder?
These both sound fictional. I mean, they sound Midsummer Murders, maybe a bit of Agatha Christie or Tales of the Unexpected. The first one, a French couple have been found guilty for torturing and killing their French au pair, all this in London. They have become convinced, in fact, they become obsessed that their au pair, Sophie Lyonnais, was plotting to abuse people in their own home, possibly abusing them, and they thought that she would be helped by the singer Mark Walton, once upon a time in the boy band Boyzone. They became absolutely fixated on this. Ultimately, they starved, beat, and killed poor Sophie, and they put her body on a bonfire in the back garden, for goodness sake. They have indeed been caught. Case number two, the South African-born British Army Sergeant Emil Cillier, 20 years in the British Army, a parachute instructor. He's been found guilty of attempting to murder his wife in the most extraordinary way. Number one, he tried to turn on a gas tap, but number two, he tampered with her parachute, both of them keen skydivers. He tampered with her parachute and her backup chute so that Victoria Cillier plummeted, he thought, to her death. But in fact, she survived. I mean, extraordinary. She had no parachute and basically fell 4,000 feet into a freshly plowed field, which may have saved her life, along with her lightweight and other things. But it's amazing that she survived in the first place. He's now been found guilty of her attempted murder. He wanted her insurance money. He wanted to start a new life with his lover, whilst also sleeping with his ex-wife. There's a sort of mini-series in there somewhere, if it weren't so ghastly.
What an awful, awful man. All right, Adam Gilchrist on the line there from the UK. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. Today's question comes from Rob Shaw, who wanted to know the origins of the Ryder Cup, which, of course, is a golf tournament played only between the USA and Europe. Why do they need one captain and two vice captain? Hashtag Emirates Worldview. To get to the answer, we spoke to Gareth Tindall, the board member of the Sunshine Tour, which is, of course, the men's professional golf tour.
in the 1920s. No American player ever won the British Open, and a challenge match was arranged from 12 players from Great Britain versus the USA. It gained some traction, and Samuel Ryder was a very successful businessman in the UK, sponsored the event, and hence the name Ryder Cup. Europe were never included in the Ryder Cup for quite a few years, as the US dominated Great Britain. It was only a contest between Great Britain and the USA. Europe then was included to strengthen a Great Britain team, and it became Europe versus the USA. One captain, generally a player in his twilight, about to finish his career as a form of recognition, and two vice captains because you need additional eyes and ears on the course.
All right, congratulations to Rob Shaw for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates, hello tomorrow.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072 702 1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Alex, glad I caught you. Listen, I have big news. You've got the promotion.
Sarah, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. You deserve it. It does involve a lot of traveling, but don't worry. The office is incredible. Fully reclining seat, Wi-Fi, built-in bar.
That's amazing. Where is it?
On board Emirates Business Class, the best office in the sky.
With flatbed seats and a host of features, Emirates Business Class is so much more than just business. Fly Emirates. Experience a new level of comfort.